Okay, it says, welcome to Bethany Church of God. Welcome to Bethany Church of God. Hey, we're going to continue on. This time, I think we've got it a little more prepared with our worship service. I did some work throughout the week, so watch it not work now. But for your information, I've had contact with Sheila, by the way, and the whole month of September, Sheila's going to be with us playing. So, 5th, the 12th, maybe not the 17th, the 22nd and the 29th. I know there's 4 weeks she's going to be with us. So, we secured that yesterday. So, she'll be here playing, and we're probably going to do a whole month of traditional hymns, but today we're going to worship the Lord, and we've got it all situated, so whether you like to stand or sit, we're going to worship the Lord.
Father's glory, praise be the grace.
Thank you, God, for this day that you have given to us, God, and we have gathered in your presence, Father, to worship you. Shine, Jesus, shine. Be the light that you are and a light to the nations. Flood this place with your presence and with your glory. God, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. This, God, is your house, and we have come into your presence. Father, let us be lit and light us on fire today. God, that we will worship you, and we'll worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father, for your presence and all that you are doing. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. Well, what's going on in the life of the church? Wednesday night, well, I'm in chapter 4 coming up. I've enjoyed the little bit. We spend about a half an hour. Last week I celebrated a song and a little bit there. We'll go on to continue on the book with some ideas about God's presence, Bob Moss, and the passion. So if you're able to watch in, join us there. That'll resume right after Labor Day, and we'll continue on with our Bible study there. Women of the Church of God is hosting that event. That's Saturday, August 24th. Information's back in the back for your detail. QR website. Webpage is there for your information. During our prayer time today, we'd like to, if Gary will let me, pray for him today. Gary's having surgery next week, and we want to lift him up in prayer, if you'll let me do that. This week. Yep. Next week, coming week, however you want to call it. It's coming up next week. Monday. It's Thursday, right? So if you'll let me pray with you, I'll do that. We want to keep Patty Zachman in prayer. John gave me a request for Larry Carrico in his back. We want to keep our little Riley in our prayers. Some of you may have seen. Riley had a sudden stop with a post in the stairwell. The post won, Riley lost. She ended up with 5 knife stitches in her forehead. So we want to keep her in prayer. And our little Charleston just turned 10. We had a birthday party for him. Beth is now officially older than I, but for just 40 days. But she had a birthday this week, and we're celebrating all of God's blessings. So during our prayer time, we want to just lift up the needs of the church in that regard. We have it tagged so that as our worship goes, some of the songs you're going to know, hopefully you know all of them, but we've got a hymn in there tucked in, so you'll be able to worship along with us. And again, whether you want to stand, sit, however you're comfortable, John, go on to the next slide. I think it's one more after that, right? And then we're going to worship the Lord, and then we're going to head into a time of prayer. And I actually have some music in there for our time of prayer that'll be playing softly in the background. So provided technology works, and we've done some extras to make sure that you have it. So we're ready to worship the Lord.
Lord God Almighty. my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
You can be seated for just a few moments. Don't click it just yet, John. We're going to keep in prayer the needs of the church that have been listed there. Gary, I don't know if you can slip out and come on up with us here. I'm going to pull you out if that's all right, buddy. Yeah, pastor's going to move his chair. I know that's not a misnomer for me. I'm going to get you in the middle here, Gary, where if anybody wants to surround you, they can. Gary's having surgery Thursday, right? So we want to keep him in prayer as God prepares him for surgery. Gary, I anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father God, we bring to you our servant this morning, God. A mainstay in the back that we see every Sunday, God. We worship with you today, Father, and we thank you for Gary's life. And God, I ask right now that you've already begun a good work in Gary's life. You've already laid the foundation, prepared all things for him. And I pray, God, today that your hand of anointing will be upon Gary as he goes through the surgery. I pray that you will watch him, guard him, and guide him. Father, for everyone that touches Gary along the path, Father, let them be reminded, this is your child, God. This is the Son of God. He is your servant, Father. And we look forward to his speedy recovery. We pray that it will go quickly, it'll go well with him, that you'll guard and guide him, Father, along the path, that all things have been laid out, and that your hand of anointing is upon Gary. God, we want the recovery to be quick. Father, I know there's going to be some discomfort. We pray that you'll keep it minimal. We'll keep him well, watch over him, and give him the rest he needs. Father, but guide the surgeon. Father, let you be the skill that's upon his life that day. Lead him, Father, as he prepares for that morning. Father, lead the team, the nurses, the doctors, the anesthesiologists. Let all of them recognize, Father, where they're going. Father, I pray the night before that your peace would be with them. That in the morning when they arise, God, they're ready and prepared for that day. Father, let your hand of anointing be upon us today. Holy Spirit, you're in this place. We know you're here. And we ask, God, right now that your anointing would touch Gary in a mighty way. Father, that all things are prepared and ready to go. We'll look forward to seeing him real soon back with us. But in the meantime, Father, give him rest. Watch over Sister Jean as she travels back and forth. Give her patience. Give her love. Give her care, God, as, you know, sometimes us guys can be a little challenging when we come to recovery time. So, God, I pray that your peace would be upon Sister Jean. Father, that there'll be an ounce of prevention and a pound of cure, but a lot of patience along the path. Father, watch her when she does that yard work out there. Watch her when she don't run into anything. Watch that new lawnmower, Father. But I pray that you'll just be with her right now. God, the next few weeks are going to be a busy, busy time. But, Father, just bless them. Bless their home, Father. Keep it well. Watch over them and we'll help you for your love and your grace and the laughter that we can have because we all know it's true, God. But we just pray your blessing now. In Jesus' holy name we ask it. Amen. Praise God, God. We'll continue on with prayer. The needs of the church as you get situated back. Father, it's good in the midst of all things that we can just pause. You're a good God. You know us, God. You know us by name. You've called us. You've given us a name that is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus Christ, we can bow. Father, we humbly submit to you ourselves, knowing that, God, we don't have all the answers, but you are the author and perfecter of our faith. This morning, God, we remember the Zachman family. Father, for Patty, God, Holy Spirit, anoint her. Lead her, Father, in the past for your name's sake. Father, though we walk through some kinds of valleys, surely your hand will guide us. Father, you prepare a table before us. Our enemies are multiple. But grace is greater. Holy Spirit, this morning, bathe us in your presence, God. Bathe us with the reality that we are your vessels, God, longing to be touched by you. To touch Patty in a wonderful way. I pray for Larry this morning, Carrico. God, for whatever is going on in his back, that you will anoint him, Father. You will touch him in a mighty way. I pray for little Riley, God. She's got a bump on her head, that there's no lasting ill effects, and stitches will come out, and she'll resume as normal, like nothing's ever happened. Thank you for your care upon her. Thank you for the hands that have touched her. Father, thank you that there was nothing else wrong, but God, we have those kids raising them. We understand that, Father. So bless her. I pray for Charleston, God, as he's turned 10 and the special day that he's had. Bless him, Father. Quite a young man, God. And we're thankful that we could be a part of his life and give him a chance to get to camp and the results that he had there in summer camp. And God, I pray that you'll continue to bless him with many more birthdays to come. Thank you for my lovely wife and the chance to celebrate her birthday. And although we kid a lot, God, I love her. Thank you for her faithfulness in her life. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the people of God this morning. Thank you that your hand has been upon multitudes. And I continue to pray for Charlotte, Lee, who is at home. I continue to pray for Suzanne, who is with us, and Louie. I continue to lift them up, God. I continue to pray for Deborah until she returns back with us. I pray for the needs of our church, both far and near, God. Holy Spirit, with your presence this morning, continue to bless Pastor Salim in Bungoma, Kenya. Continue to bless Brother Tom and Mark and Brent and the worship that we celebrate together. Continue to bless the people of God. Father, pour into us this morning in a way that through the power of this word. Father, I'm thankful that just a few days ago I was able to celebrate with the Perwalmi family and the loss of an uncle, a friend. But God, I know your anointing was there. I felt at home with family, people I knew. And I know here's a man who loved the Lord. God, I know he's home with you. Father, I just ask this morning that we would be at home with you. Not away from this body, but home with you in your church, in your presence. Home to know that we're in a comfortable surrounding, a place that we feel your presence, a place where the power of God is at work. Father, we just worship you. And whatever week we've had, God, that's led up to this moment, God, I ask that you would just give us a moment of release, a moment of quiet reflection, a moment to hear your thoughts and to listen for me. Thank you, God, for your splendor. Thank you for your majesty. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, God, that we can lean upon the solid rock. We're no longer aliens or strangers. We are family. And we are the body that you called us to be, the body of Christ. God, we just thank you for each and every person watching and present. We thank you for the power of your presence. Father, as we lean into you, you've taught us so much. Holy Spirit, remind us that we are yours. Remind us that we are bought with a price. Therefore, we can glorify God, not only in this moment, but in your presence. Teach us how to pray, Father, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. truly weak and shame. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Thankful for the power of prayer. Thankful for God's anointing and His care upon our lives. Grateful that I can take a minute and collect my thoughts. I was a little grumpy this morning. I don't know why, but I was a little grumpy this morning. Things were not just going as the way that I wanted them to go. Maybe that's the problem. They weren't going the way that I wanted them to go. So sometimes I have to step back and go, okay, God, maybe it's you. Maybe it's your hand that I need to recognize. We're looking at a scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. You can pull up the title. And I've entitled this Paul's Prayer. Verse 14, Paul begins with that symbolism and he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." Boy, what a stark reminder that I kneel before God and seek His presence. We're going to read together Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14 through verse 21. If you're able to stand with me, we can celebrate together this passage. I must say I'm grateful for sensing the presence of God in this place. There is no other place I'd rather be than in the presence of God. And I am grateful that we have a place where we can gather in His name. We can recognize the power of what God is able to do. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. Paul said, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." You know, we got a name. There's something about that name. What a blessing He's given to us of a wonderful name. We know where it comes from. He said, "I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, and high and deep is the love of God." You know, I remember in elementary school singing the song, you know, "Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide." Sunday school is coming back to haunt me. And he said, "To know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You can be seated, so I don't leave you standing too long. I always tell everybody a mind's a terrible thing to waste, and there are certain things that you remember and don't know why you remember them, but you remember them. We talk about commercials and music and songs, and well, I could go off on a real tangent about all that wasted space in my mind. So that's good knowledge that I've learned over the years, right? Sure. Paul, like any other apostle, has been entrusted with the revelation of the Spirit, specifically to what has been revealed to him and to the Gentiles who receive the gospel of faith and are fellow heirs of the promises of God. They, too, are members of the body of Christ and therefore have access to God. Paul says this word "for this reason," and we'll get to that in just a second. Paul rises above culture and tradition in order to show the readers and us that God is apparent to all humanity. How many of us are keenly aware of the power of prayer and why we pray? We've heard it. We've done it. You've seen it in action. But are you keenly aware of the power of prayer? Not only do we see it an effective force in the Old Testament and the prayer that's taking place in the temples and other places, but it's even more aware in the New Testament when Jesus stops in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Even more when he gathers on top of the mountain of transfiguration and they pray. Even more as he steps into the water and he gets baptized and they pause and the Spirit descends on him. The power of prayer is effective. And the Scriptures hence tell us the effective prayer of the righteous is powerful. And the Holy Spirit is an active agent. Prayer is what the soul requires. It's our communication with God. Now, there's no effective methodology. There's ideas and wisdoms and thoughts. And there are some days, let's be honest, I don't have the words. There are some days that I sit and pray. Yeah, it's a one-way conversation, and I'm not talking like I would be in a normal prayer. I'm just upset. This morning I was upset, and I just said, God, you've got to do something. I can't do this on my own. It's not a normal prayer. It's a conversation, because I need God. You need to hear me. Hello? We, like the Ephesians church, need to rediscover the power of prayer and what was taught to us in the Holy Spirit's message. Now, Paul begins with this verse. I want to give you the rest of the story. Who said that? Now you know the rest of the story. Paul Harvey, a radio icon. Now, Paul Harvey, in his major radio format, KTAM, was playing contemporary music, factual newscast, the series Part of the Day. He would always have that undefiable term, and now you know the rest of the story. He would break ground by telling you things about famous people, about situations, and would give you the rest of the story. Paul here says, for this reason, and I want to pause for a moment. In chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, look at verse 15. Paul says it again. Beginning of the chapter in Ephesians in verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith. Similar in chapter 2, verse 11. Paul uses the term, therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised. In chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of the Gentiles. Now in verse 14, for this reason. The textual application is drawing our attention to some events, some words, some things that we need to understand. What Paul is trying to do is set in place for us that as you begin to read the Scriptures, Paul wants you to pause. That textual application is designed that as you read, you stop. The point Paul is saying, for this reason, I want you to go back and reflect. I want you to know the rest of the story. What Paul is trying to do is saying words like therefore in the Greek and for this reason. Paul is drawing your attention back. So he wants you to get this application that says, why is it there? None of you ever say, what is he trying to say? What's the application? What's the purpose? What's the meaning? See, the Scripture is very specific in its application. Paul is doing the same for the church and for Ephesus. And what he wants to do is when he draws your attention back, he wants to set the tone of the purpose of his conversation. The church at Ephesus is struggling. Not that our church is struggling today, is it? Not that we need to stop and pray. Paul is saying for this reason, why does the church need to pray? Well, you might say, well, that's a great application for Paul in his day. Why do I need to pray? Is there any specific reason? The Bible says, God already knows what you need before you even pray, so why do I even utter the words? Huh? He wants to hear from us. What else? Yeah, for us to depend on Him. The power of prayer, God knows what we need. Now, does God always answer our prayers the way we want Him to? Oh, no. Oh, no. If He did, things would be a lot different than the way are right now. Huh? Oh, boy. That's certainly right. But Paul begins in chapter 1, and he said, For this reason, I want you to understand. In chapter 1, he begins to lay the foundation for the church at Ephesus. And he says, first of all, we need to understand there's redemption. Redemption of the saints through the blood of Jesus Christ. Why is that important, church? Wow. You want to talk about a foundational element that Paul begins to lay the work for us? If that's not foundational, I don't know what is. The redemption of the saints through the blood of Jesus Christ. Wow. You talk about foundational work, Paul is very knowledgeable. And he says, if you want to lay the foundation and you want to know why we need to pray, we need to understand there is work and why it's there. And then he says, a little bit later in that same chapter, that you've been chosen and predestined. And Paul wants to understand, you've been chosen by God. You aren't just some random individual. God knew you. He knows you by name. I'm not Calvinistic in the fact that we were predestined and everything was set in place. But God knows you. He knows you by name. He knows much about you. And He knows the journey you're on. He knows where you're going. He knows what you're going to do. And He said, you've been chosen. Not only have you been set apart by the redemption of the saints and the blood of Jesus, you've been chosen. And Paul says, for that reason, hence, I do not cease to give thanks and remember you in prayer. Paul is saying, thank you, God, for what you have done for the people of God. Then he goes on in chapter 2, and he lays this foundation and says, why do I need to pray? Because I want you to get this whole idea that we talked about before. For by grace you have been saved, that through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And that we are clearly God's workmanship, being created in Christ Jesus to do good work. And therefore, what Paul is saying is because we have been predestined, and because we have this redemption, and because God clearly has chosen us, because of that, we are dead to the former life, we are alive to Christ, and we have been saved through faith. Boy, you want to talk about preaching a message right here? We can lay it all open for you. If you want to know the gospel story, it's unfolding and unpacking. And Paul's saying, look, here God is laying this foundation. And as a result of that, for that reason, we are God's workmanship. Now, somebody can tell you you're a piece of work this morning. And you can go, that's right, I'm a piece of work. And I'm not sure they're going to require it the same method that you would. And you might look at them and say, yep, I sure am. I didn't make everybody real happy this morning. And I left some people with a sense that they're not very happy with me this morning. Well, when I get back, I'm sure they're going to tell me in so many terms that I'm a piece of work. And I'm going to rise up and go, hey, for those watching, you're right. I'm a piece of work. But he goes on to say a little bit further on this idea of need to pray. He said, for those of you who are far away, Paul now says you've been brought near. What Paul is trying to recognize is through this process, those of you that were far away, and Paul is trying to relate to the church, listen, because of sin, it separated us from each other. And because of the redemption of Jesus Christ, because of the workmanship of God, we have been brought near. And then Paul draws in this term that you're no longer aliens and foreigners. Now, this brings us all the way back to the Old Testament, that first testament, when Abraham was called to be an alien in a former land. And that God said, you're going to be an alien, but you're going to be brought near. That term is real important. Do you realize that you're a family? So I guess we'll be coming over to your house today to have supper. Hope you got good ice cream. Well, you might have chocolate cake. My wife will love that. I think she's had her fill of chocolate for the last couple of days. But he says, listen, we're a family. And what does he mean? See, the church isn't just walls and a building. We've made it that way. And for many of us over the years, we believe this is the church. No, it's not. We are the church. And that's what Paul is trying to get in this terminology. That we are the church. This building was designed as a place where we come and worship. And it's comfortable and it's cool. But for some of you, it's too cold. For me, it's not cold enough. We could have icicles on the window and I'd be okay. Hot weather and me just don't get along. But he says, for that reason, you've been brought close. And then Paul goes on to say, for that reason, I want to reveal to you the mystery of Christ. Now, I've just preached 3-4 chapters in a matter of a few words. But what Paul wants you to understand is he uses this terminology, why do I need to pray? Well, the church and people today need to hear this word. Paul is setting the foundation for the church at Ephesus who is struggling. They need to hear that word. And if you want to preach the gospel, bring them to Ephesus. Bring them to Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. You want to lay that foundation, and then in chapter 4, he begins to go a little bit further and talk about unity and maturity in the body. The main reason for this is that I am praying for wonderful things upon God in our life. All the church still needs to understand that. Paul is saying, listen, there's some false things that are going on. The church is relatively young in Paul's day. The church at Ephesus was premature, pretty much. They had just a fledgling church from the book of Acts and now is growing, but there's already turmoil. There's no turmoil in the church, is there? There's no condensation in the church. We all live one happy family. We're a bunch of happy people. We get up in the morning, we're happy when we come to church. You got good food to eat. You got fresh coffee to drink. Why should you be mad? Well, we just get up grumpy some days, don't we? You wake up because your feet are hanging out of the covers and you're cold. You wonder why I can't just stay in bed and snuggle up a little more. Then somebody's got to nudge me and say, we've got to go to church. But there's turmoil. And Paul is saying, listen, they're rejecting the truth. Paul goes on to talk about all kinds of things, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but we need to get this whole idea that Paul is trying to get the church to recognize there's a battle going on out there. And the church at Ephesus is confronted with multiple types of things around them, and they need to be prepared for that. If not, the church will collapse. And unfortunately, that's what Paul is trying to warn us about. Paul then says there's some essential elements. In chapter 3, verse 16, he said a couple of things. I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being so that you may dwell, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul is giving us this whole idea that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have the power. Now, Paul lays out for us four things in this scripture. First of all, that you may have inner spiritual strength. I don't know about any of you, but you can work out all you want. You can lift weights and run and do cardio and do all of that to get a six-pack that you want, and all of that can be great, and you can look awesome. But if you don't have inner spiritual strength, we call that, in some ways, that indomitable spirit, that intestinal fortitude, that desire and that drive. You've got to have that strength, because if you're not prepared, guess what? The enemy knows where to get you. He knows where you're weak at. And he knows when things aren't going real well, and we have that patience that's about that long, and you've already reached this long, and you're about ready to go explode. Or am I the only one that does that? And then Beth and I have some wonderful exegetical conversations that go beyond our understanding. And we're glad that it's kept within inside the walls. But he says, first of all, you've got to have that inner spiritual strength. The second one he calls is the indwelling of Christ in your hearts. Now, why do I need either one? First of all, why do I need spiritual strength? Let me tell you, when you're facing that person that's right up in your face, or that person who's just cut you off for the third time while you're driving down the road, nobody ever does that today with the orange barrels out. See, I'm that guy that likes to get halfway over and go, "What is the matter with you? I've been waiting 20 minutes in this line and you're just going to sneak up and cut right in front of me. Don't you know I got to get to church or I got somewhere to go?" We need the indwelling of Christ in our hearts. And then he said you need, the third thing is the ability to comprehend the spiritual dimensions and the realities. And the fourth thing is the knowledge and love of Christ. Well, he lays out this. Paul emphasizes the unity of mankind where everything comes together. Well, Paul in verse 14 and 15 uses a term that's called patria. Now, from the Greek word, this word patria means not just a family, not just a clan or ethnic group. Paul is actually talking about a nation. He's talking about something much larger. When he uses the term patria in this family, that every family on heaven gets its name from in verse 14, he's talking about us. We're not just Bethany Church of God. You know, I was at a funeral Friday, and honestly, sometimes I get those calls and I'm not sure what I'm walking into. But she called me and she had prepared me, you know, gave me a few hints, and I just searched the scripture for where I was going. I walked in and I started to see people that I knew. I started to see family that I was aware of, people and names, a wedding that I had done a number of years ago that were there, and their little boy and the family. And all of a sudden, I recognized how large our family is. You know, there's people everywhere, and we talk about it. We go places, and we're always running into someone that we know or we've seen, and we're going, "I know you from somewhere. I'm just trying to remember your name." Now, the older I get, the harder it is to kind of go, "Oh, my God." And then it takes me a minute, and then all of a sudden my brain kicks in instead of my mouth, and I finally realize who they are, and they're like, "How do you remember us?" Pretty easy. No, it's not. But I can go back and start relating the details, and pretty soon we're a family. And Paul is trying to tell you that you're a family. You're to be leaning on each other. The language of bowing our knees before God is that underscores the power of that unity. Just like we did this morning, just like we did last week. That unity of prayer centers in on that. That this first petition says to strengthen your inner being with the power of the Spirit. You know, we're going to have some difficulties. We're going to have some challenges. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for this body throughout the course of the week. We need to pray as we go on for school, as we go through surgeries, as we go through things. We're going to need that prayer. And then, I love this, he continues on with this idea, this breadth and length and height. I'll get to that in a few moments, but we petition all kinds of things, and Paul is laying the foundation for us that we'll be strengthened, that our inner being will have power, that we'll understand the love of God. And this love that we have is more than just a regular surface love. Paul is laying out the word in Greek here is the agape love. It's a full love for us. So Paul lays out for the church at Ephesus something that we need to consider, that we need to have the love of God. Well, he goes on to say, and the sole reason for all of these purposes is that we give God the glory. In the closing section, Paul gives us the glorification of the church and the glory to God. Now, I guess we must ask ourselves the question, why is Paul laying that out for us? What's the purpose of Paul's prayer? Is it so that we just read something interesting in the Scriptures? No, what Paul is trying to say is you want an effective, powerful church. The power of prayer is the avenue by which it happens. It's understanding that through the power of prayer, we gain strength to our inner being. We can be rooted and grounded as a family, that patria. We can understand the power of the context. And we can also recognize that we can have faith through Him, and that will be rooted and established in love. Now, We need to have some good foundations. And Paul made that clear just a little bit before that. He says that we are built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. I want you to get one term here. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 16, he said that, I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now, this phrase here comes from the Greek, and it's listed as I, ton, esso, anthropon. And Paul is trying to say in your inner being. Now, why is he saying in your inner being? If you look at that text, what you might get is the sense that he's praying for you individually. What Paul is essentially doing by this terminology is he's using the plural context. What Paul is trying to get to the church at Ephesus, not only am I praying for you, but I'm praying for the corporate body of the church. Now, it's one thing to pray for each other that we'll have the strength. It's also important that we have the indwelling of Christ in our life. It's also important that we find the insights of Christ throughout the world. But it's equally important that we find that we are the body of Christ. That we pray for each other. We pray for the corporate body of the church. That Paul is trying to recognize to the church at Ephesus and the Bethany Church and to Hope Crossing and Chippewa Valley and Evanswood and the churches in our area that God is praying for the corporate body of the church, that this body would be rooted and built together. Now, if you don't understand what the reason of that is, let me spend about another hour and a half to tell you why this corporate body needs some strength. Because the church is under attack today, folks. Not only the physical building we call a church, but the spiritual building of the church that we call ourselves. We're under attack. And they will do everything in their power to compose a situation to where the church no longer exists. And we are called to give God the glory. We're called to be rooted and bound together. We're called by the Scripture to be a corporate body who gives thanks to the one who is the solid rock on which we stand. Now, Paul, all the way from this point, takes us all the way back to chapter 1 and begins to lay the foundational work for us. That the reason he prays is so that this body would be united. And he goes on to seal that in chapter 4, and he says, now we need to have some unity amongst us. We need to get rid of the division. We need to be deconstruction workers. We need to break down the wall that separates us, and we need to recognize that we got to stop looking at external aspects and begin to start looking at internal aspects, that we are called together. It's time we break down the walls. We begin to build together the power of prayer, working together, kneeling together, holding hands together, working together to strive that this body of Christ may give God the glory and it may grow in leaps and bounds and return to God the glory for what he has done in our life. And the power of prayer is something everyone can do. Young or old, feeble or weak, God can still use the power of prayer. And then I love this terminology, and I'm running out of time here. But Paul gives us this whole idea of the length, breadth, height, and depth. Now, why is it necessary that I know the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of his love? Why does Paul give us this whole idea that we can grasp together how wide and long, high, and deep is the love of Christ? What Paul is saying is that in this terminology to close out this section, he derives this idea from the whole Old Testament and the whole temple. And Paul is trying to get us to understand that temple was laid out in such a way that they would enter. There's the length of it, there's the depth of it, there's the breadth of it, and Paul is giving us symbolism to say, look, remember the Old Testament. Remember there were very specific rules and regulations. And what we begin to see is Psalm 139 laid out, where we see David talking about that, God, you know me. You knew me before I was born, and you know me today. You know where I go and what I do, when I stand, when I sit, when I sleep, when I... all of that. Paul is laying out for the church, He understood the power of what God is. Now, the beauty of that is that God is not bound by the walls. God is not bound by the roof. God is not bound by the floor. He's not bound by your car. He's not bound by your phone. He's not bound by the web and the internet. He's not bound by some small sort of symbolism. What Paul is laying for us is the foundation of unity. And his prayer says, I need you to grasp that my God is so much bigger than what you can imagine. Paul understood it because God's taken Paul all kinds of journeys. Paul has gone through the prison ministry. He's gone through water. He's gone through hunger. He's gone through the fire. He's gone through beating. He's gone through all kinds of situations. And yet, Paul still gives God the glory. I wonder today, in the power of your prayer, how long is your prayer? How deep is your prayer? What's the breadth of what you believe? What's the depth and the height of what God is able to do? We're laid a visual picture today of the power of Paul's prayer. Paul calls you and I as a church to recognize that prayer is effective then, and the same prayer is effective today. It's up to you. Father, thank you for the power of your hand. Thank you for the effective prayer. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we have an active agent. God, you're still alive and well. You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you are still moving in our midst. Holy Spirit, we pray that the fire of Pentecost would fall on the people of God. You would light us up, God, and set us on fire for your hand. God, I pray that you'd begin to move in a mighty way in the church. Restore the joy of our salvation, Father. Give us ears to hear the power that we may have inner strength. We may have that indomitable spirit. We may know the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of your love. May we know the power, God, that is wrapped up in your prayer. May we understand the power that you have given to us. That, Father, when we face, God, Paul is the one that talks about the garments of God. He talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. He talks about those things, Father, because he knows that we're going to face a spiritual battle. And Father, even as these words come off of my mouth today, I know that tomorrow we may wake up and there's going to be challenges. We may not feel well. We may not be the person that we feel like we should be. We might have sadness. We might have heartache. We might face some difficult situations. But my God wants us to know this morning that he is bigger than any problem that we might face. And Holy Spirit, I pray that when the enemy comes calling, that we got an answer to him and he can just take and run and hide. That you have given us power today and know that we are going to face those things and we're going to come out victorious. And I pray this morning that you'll teach us the power of your prayer in your holy name. Phil Wickham calls this is our God. He's a God that can do it.
Remember the wall that we call sin and shame. They were like prisoners that we put in escape. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those walls are up now. And those giants we call death and grave, they were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God. This is the end. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross. He took grace.
That's our God, right? Sometimes the fear can take our breath away, but He knows us. He knows that we can be meek, we can barely pray. So that's who He is. That's the power of His prayer. Now I pray that that being God and who He is, that He will lead and guide you, and that this coming week will be all that He has given to you. And I ask that you'll take a moment every day, whisper in prayer the body of Christ, lift up the name of God, that God will give you the strength and the blessing throughout the course of this week. Lift up Gary in prayer as he continues on and stretches into that surgery date. That God will continue to bless him, and God's peace go with you now. Have a great day.